listening to CFAC 960 AM, Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Owned and operated by Rogers Media. Also streaming at sportsnet.ca/960. Getting your afternoon started right now. It's Pat Steinberg on The Big Show. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Come with me now. Come with me now.
Yeah, there's no way we're losing the ball.
You don't feel like the pressure's on you guys?
No. We're up 3-2 and going home. Rodgers building now when Winnipeg's up in the NHL. So we're going to, you know, take energy from that and just play the same way we've been doing at home. You know, last game they didn't have much in our building, so we got to try to do the same thing on Saturday night.
How about that for a little bit of confidence, eh? There's Michael Backlund of the Calgary Flames. There's no way we're losing at home. Boom! Gauntlet laid down by number 11 of the Calgary Flames, and, you know, some people I'm sure will be like, oh, no, Bax, what are you doing? I love it. Give me that stuff every day of the week, and I'm kind of with him. I'd be surprised if the Flames lost at home tomorrow, but Michael Backlund sounds like he'll be more surprised than me. No way we're losing at home, he says. Game 6, Flames Canucks tomorrow, as Calgary has an opportunity for a second chance to win this first-round series with the Vancouver Canucks. They lost Game 5 last night by a 2-1 final score, so Vancouver lives to fight another day. So give me that stuff every day of the week. Good on you, Bax. I love to hear that, and looking forward to Game 6 tomorrow. Lots of Flames talk as the Big Show rolls on. We are underway on a Friday from Woodridge Ford. More about why we're here at Woodridge as the afternoon continues. But right now, it's time to head to Edmonton, where the Oilers are introducing a new management structure, a new management group. We know Patrick LaForge is out. We know Peter Chiarelli's a part of it. We don't know a whole lot more other than that. We're heading to Edmonton right now. Bob Nicholson's the CEO of the Oilers, newly named, and he's got all the news for us. Let's head to Edmonton, Alberta.
Fans, earlier this week I was able to address the media and all our great fans, and I said that we're working on a plan and we'd roll that plan out when we felt it was the right time, and today is the first step of this plan, and I'm really excited about it, and I know the Oilers fans will embrace this first step and will be a great step for us going into this hockey season. I want to first start, though, on the business side, and I want everyone to know that I've had lengthy discussions with Patrick LaForge last night and again today, and Patrick LaForge will be moving on, will not be with the organization, but I want to recognize what he's done over the last 15 to 16 years. He's had a huge contribution to this organization. And he's certainly going to be around. When we open up Rogers Place, we want him there. He's going to be there like all a lot of the other great alumni Oilers. But when we look at the business side, we've got some great people stepping up to the plate here. We have Stu McDonald. Stu's been with us for a number of years, and we'll be focusing on the ticketing side, the revenue side, the marketing side. We have Daryl Bolzenkuhl, who's been in charge of the finances. He'll be working in the transition into the new building and operations. We have Bob Black, who is the person that has led Rogers Place and will be working on new business as we go forward. And there'll be a lot more announcements there with Rogers Place and everything else coming out of the building. That's going to be such an exciting time for downtown Edmonton and everything that the Cates Group has done in that area. And to change the focus to the hockey side that everyone's so excited about, and the person left of me here, Peter, I don't have to talk about what he's done in the National Hockey League. His record speaks for itself. He had great tender in Boston, going to the Stanley Cup twice, winning the Stanley Cup. And I really got to know Peter a few years ago, and I'm going to tell you a little bit of how we got introduced, because it starts to roll out the type of person Peter is. And we were all so successful in 2010 Olympics, and when I went to Steve Yzerman to see if he wanted to lead that great management group, he said yes, I really want to do that, and gave me all the reasons how we're going to be that much better in Russia than we were in Vancouver, and that did come true. But the one thing he said, Bob, I want to add a voice. We have a great group, but I want a person to bring in new ideas into this group. And I went, Steve, you know, we got a pretty good group. It's been a great group. We've won. And he convinced me to bring in Peter Shirelli. And I can tell you, through all of those meetings, Peter put himself in a position to be a part of that group, added to that camaraderie to have our team play the way it did in Sochi. And that's the type of person Peter is. He's going to lead this group. He's going to lead hockey. He's the president of hockey operations, the general manager. And he's going to make sure that he has strong people around him. And I know that we're going to get this organization headed in the right direction. So, Peter, it's so great to have you, your family. You know, it's been a bit of a whirlwind. I think the other thing, this has gone so quickly. One of the keys that we talked about was, you know, how's your team going to play? If we can, teams as quick as we got this contract done, I think that'll be great for the fans.
Thanks, Bob. First, I'd like to thank Daryl Cates, Bob, and Kevin. This happened really quickly, and one of the reasons it happened really quickly is because I've known them from before, and I really like them, I respect them, and I respect their hockey minds, and I respect them as people, and it made it very easy to become comfortable with the situation. So thank you, Bob and Kevin, Daryl, if you're watching. It's been a real whirlwind, as Bob said, but it seems like it's today, Friday. So a week and a half ago, I got bad news, and today I got terrific news. So I'm really excited to be part of this organization. It has a long and rich history. I come from an original six team with a long and rich history, so I know to respect the legacy, to embrace the legacy, and the same is going to apply here. Having said all that, I have thoughts, I've got ideas, I've got a lot of things going on in my head. And once I started talking to Bob and to Kevin, each passing day you get more energized and you get more ideas. So I'm really excited to be part of this. We took a tour of the arena project and it's unbelievable. It's overwhelming. My wife was down and I've never seen anything like it, especially where it is in this, right smack in the middle of downtown. So excited to be part of that. This team has got a lot of good pieces. And what the way I handle these things, the way I manage is there's nothing really flashy about it, although we've, you know, in the past I've made some trades and I'm not afraid to do that. But it's just, it's about getting to know the people, getting to know the players, really instilling an attitude and a philosophy about winning and the sacrifices that it takes to win, sacrifices on the ice and off the ice. The mentality that we all have to embrace, and there's really nothing magical about it, and there's nothing magical about me. It's about hard work, it's about connecting, communicating, and that's what I plan to do. And I have a lot of resources around me, starting with Daryl, Bob, Kevin, who and all the existing people that, you know, I will meet with and go through. But you know, it's how you take the next step, and it has to be a measured approach, and that's kind of the way I operate. It's a real honor and pleasure to be part of this, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. And I think, as far as doing my schedule, I think I've booked the next 3 days, so and that's it. That's all I know. So, so anyways, thank you, and I'm happy to be here.
Thank you, Bob, and thank you, Peter. We'll now take questions from the floor. If you can, please put up your hand, and once I acknowledge you, we'll go ahead. First question for Gene Principe.
Hi, Peter. Welcome to Edmonton. If you could maybe describe what the challenges might be like or how excited you are about having, I guess, two jobs. And Bob, a little bit of the process of making changes regarding Kevin and Craig.
I'll start off here, Peter. First of all, on those changes, it's very clear that Peter is the president of hockey operations and general manager. I've had a discussion with Craig McTavish. In fairness, Peter has not had that time. We just signed the contract early this morning. Just so we're clear with Kevin Lowe, everyone in the organization will report up to myself, but I am the CEO and vice chair. There's two vice chairs of this organization. They're Bob Nicholson and Kevin Lowe. And there's one chairman, Daryl Cates. So when you look at how we will operate within the whole OEG, as everything comes up to myself, I'm going to work with Kevin Lowe on a lot of different areas. I know that I look at having Kevin help on the business side, help on the hockey side, and wherever it's best for the organization. My relationship with Kevin goes back a long ways, and we'll be very tight in all of that. And how he'll work on the hockey side more would be really up to Peter.
You asked about challenges, and so at any time, at least in my only other experience in entering a new organization, each organization has their own challenges. I have to make an assessment of where the team is, where the roster fits, where, you know, the direction that we're going to go in. I have a certain direction that I want to follow, and that'll apply to the challenges. Like, I was part of 7-8 years in Ottawa where we had a real fast, skilled team. Part of 9 years in Boston where we had a skilled, heavy team. The game's changing, so it's finding a balance between the two, and that's kind of my objective here. There's a lot of challenges in any organization. There's a lot of areas where you want to get better, and you know, I've been Eastern Conference guy for a while. I know this team. I don't know it great. I know the players. So there's a lot of work to be done from my perspective. You know, there's obviously some areas that have been well chronicled that we're going to have to look at, the goaltending, the back end, the style of play and all that. So there's a lot of them. And I probably don't have enough time to tell you them all. But as I said in my opening address, there's a lot of good things here and exciting things. There's a lot of young legs, complementary players that can really help build a good foundation, and they play fast. Like to see them play a little harder, and that'll be a challenge.
Ryan and then John.
Just for clarification, Bob, if you can, mm-hmm. Just on Mac T, is he still with the organization or not? Is that to be determined yet? And then just a quick follow-up for Peter after, if I can.
Definitely. Craig McTavish is still with the organization. As I stated, I chatted to him yesterday and today, and, you know, Peter will look forward to talking to him in the next couple days.
And Peter, sorry to get right to it like this, but Oilers fans are going to want to know this one. One of the trades you made while you were with Boston was moving a good young forward in Tyler Seguin. The Oilers have lots of good young franchise-type forwards, too. As you sit there today, how do you feel about that trade, and how does that experience maybe affect what you might do with some of these young crop of good forwards you have?
I've actually made a few trades of good young forwards, so that's something that I won't shy away from. That was a trade that had underlying reasons that I won't get into, but he's a terrific player. He was our leading scorer, and that's what I'll say about that one. In this business, you can't be afraid to make trades. Like the way that the parity is developing, the way that the cap is closing in, the margins are really small. So you have to. Those are ways to improve your team. So I'm not afraid of doing it. It has to be the right moment. There are some very good young players on this team. Doesn't mean that I'm going to trade any of them, but those are deals that you can't be afraid to make. They have to be well measured. You have to be well informed. That deal was, you know, obviously he's a very good player and there were reasons for doing it.
That is Peter Chiarelli and Bob Nicholson from Edmonton. Huge news out of our provincial capital. The Oilers have hired Peter Chiarelli to be their general manager and president of hockey operations. And I'll say this much. I was wondering about it. I was skeptical about it. I was very, very interested to see whether or not Bob Nicholson being named CEO would give him the true power to make the sweeping changes the Oilers needed. Well, I know Kevin Lowe is somewhat still a part of the organization, but he's not part of the hockey operations side of things, or nowhere near as much as he was, and Craig McTavish is seemingly out. Bob Nicholson's made a huge, huge, and I believe extremely positive move today for the Edmonton Oilers. And we like to take our shots, and we like to criticize and all of that. But in reality, hiring Peter Chiarelli as president of hockey operations and general manager was the right move to make. Bob Nicholson, I think, is too early to say he hit it out of the park. But Bob Nicholson just made a huge, huge move today, and I think that is a very, very smart call. I didn't think that they would have the intestinal fortitude to get rid of Craig McTavish. I really didn't. I did not think that McTavish was going to go. He has been a brutal general manager, and they made the right call. And we all know what Kevin Lowe has done as you know, in the hockey operation side of things. It's been pretty brutal, too. Kudos to Bob Nicholson, and kudos to the Oilers for finally doing what was needed to be done. Again, we'll wait and see how it plays out. We don't know what Peter Chiarelli's tenure is going to be like, but this is a big first step for the Oilers. And as Will Nault said to me off the air as we were listening to the news conference, winning the lottery and getting Connor McDavid to be a member of the Oilers had to change everything for Edmonton, and it seemingly has. They've made a huge, huge move today, and a very positive move today. Lots on that. Big, big Oilers news as we continue on the big show here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. So react to that, if you will, on the text line at 960-960. As we do that, we shift our focus back to the Calgary Flames, who were unable to come away with a victory yesterday in Game 5 of their series against the Vancouver Canucks. It's time to take a look back. It's time for the Game in a Minute.
Game in a Minute, brought to you by Jack Carter Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC. Get the next generation 2015 Cadillac Escalade for $600 bi-weekly. No money down. Jack Carter Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC.
Welcome to Rogers Arena in Vancouver and to the National Hockey League's 2015 Stanley Cup Playoffs. Tonight, with a 3-1 lead in their Western Conference quarterfinal, Bob Hartley's Calgary Flames will face Willie Desjardins' Vancouver Canucks in Game 5 of the Best of 7 series. Alex Edler can't clear. David Jones gloves it down, shoots, and scores! David Jones picks up a loose puck in the Canucks zone and snaps a shot off the goal post and in. The Flames take a 1-0 lead. Far side to Bonino. He'll bat it in behind the net to Verbata. Verbata centers. Bonino shoots and scores! Well, it took them 33 minutes and 31 seconds, but the Canucks have finally scored a goal in Game 5. A wicked snapshot by Nick Bonino, and he picks the top corner over the glove hand of Jonas Hiller, and the Canucks have tied this contest at 1. Henrik Sedin wins the draw. Dan Hamhuis a shot, and it bounces right in! They've scored! Well, Jonas Hiller falls backwards in the Flames crease, and that puck bounced around like a rubber ball in the blue paint before trickling through his legs, and the Canucks take a 2-1 lead. 5 seconds left. Hoedler feeds it in front. Puck will bounce away to the near corner, and the Flames run out of time in Game 5. The Canucks come from behind to win by a final score of 2-1. With it, they cut the Flames' lead in this best of seven Western Conference quarterfinal to 3-2, and they force Game 6 at Scotiabank Saddledome on Saturday.
Game in a Minute, brought to you by Jack Carter Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC. Get the 2015 Cadillac SRX all-wheel drive luxury crossover loaded only $300 bi-weekly. Jack Carter Chevrolet Cadillac Buick GMC.
Matty Rose with the choice to go with Jaquan for the Game in a Minute bed last night. Little Jaquan. Jeez, where is he pulling this stuff out from? It's like 2005 hip-hop that we're going with. That was the Game in a Minute choice from yesterday. Calgary Flames unable to wrap up the series last night. Just my quick synopsis, and Robbie and I will get into this lots as we continue throughout the program, but I didn't think they played poorly. I just thought the Canucks were a much more urgent, desperate hockey team. They were a better hockey team. And they executed a whole lot better. They were relentless. You know, like, for instance, you take a look at Game 4. The Canucks were very good in Game 4 in the first period. You know, some stupid penalties, but they controlled things. They had their opportunities, so on and so forth. But what they didn't do was capitalize. What they didn't do is come away with much to show for it. In fact, they were down 3-1 after 20 in Game 4. And then they got away from it in the second period. Well, last night, they're down 1-0 after 20 despite outshooting Calgary 17-8. And then in the second period, they just kept on coming, kept on coming, kept on coming. There was no let-up. They tied the game. There was no let-up. They took the lead, and they were able to hold on and win the hockey game. That was the biggest difference for me. So, yeah, that was the thing that I thought stuck out to me more than anything else on the Vancouver side of things. And that's why I don't really come away from it saying, geez, oh, the Flames were horrible last night. How could they lose that hockey game? I think the Flames are still very much in the driver's seat in this series. If I'm a Flames fan right now, I'm still very confident they can pull this out. And the reason I say that is because, A, I didn't think they played poorly last night. B, Jonas Hiller is clearly on his game right now. And C, they're coming back home. They're 2-for-2 on home ice so far. And they fed off the Sea of Red. They fed off the Scotiabank Saddle Dome crowd. And I think that will raise their urgency level tomorrow. I think that we'll see them a little bit more fired up. And I think that we're talking about a really, really close hockey. Despite the shots being 43-21, and despite the game, you know, being controlled by Vancouver, despite them winning and being urgent and all of that, it was still a one-goal hockey game. So I think it's going to be very, very close tomorrow, and I think Calgary's still very much in the driver's seat in this series. The question is, can the Canucks be urgent like that again? And as we know, game to game, there's no guarantees in this league, whether it be the regular season or the postseason. Once again, Game 6 tomorrow, back at the Scotiabank Saddle Dome, 7 o'clock face-off here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. We're on the air at 6 o'clock with your Flames warm-up. It's time for the UFC wrap.
Pat Steinberg's weekly UFC Wrap is brought to you by the Elbow River Casino. Don't miss any of the great action and sporting events in Sammy's Sports Bar, including the top UFC fights, all at the Elbow River Casino with free underground parking.
UFC 186 is tomorrow at the Bell Center in Montreal, and big news this week as the co-main event is back on. There was a Henin Barão TJ Dillashaw fight that was for the title that got taken off this card, and that was unfortunate. Well, good news today is that they have added the co-main event back. The Dillashaw Barão fight is still off because there's an injury, but the Quentin Rampage Jackson Fabio Maldonado fight at a 215-pound catchweight, we thought it was going to be on, then there was a court injunction to block it, and then very, very recently it was put back on the cord. The court injunction was lifted, so Rampage can return to the Ultimate Fighting Championship. He's back inside the octagon for the first time since January of 2013. So, yeah, Quentin Rampage Jackson, Fabio Maldonado, the co-main event, the 215 pounds catchweight fight tomorrow, UFC 186 in Montreal. The main event is at bantamweight. It's a title showdown between champion Demetrius Johnson and Kyoji Horiguchi. That is the main event as Demetrius Johnson puts his title on the line once again. We'll see what Mighty Mouse is all about. I'm obviously, when you're talking about Demetrius fighting, Horiguchi's a really exciting fighter. You're talking about a potential fireworks-filled display. Michael Bisping, CB Dolloway also on the card at middleweight, but this is all of a sudden turned into what was like, geez, this card is cursed once again. It's turned into a pretty great and stacked card with the return of Rampage. I'm looking forward to it tomorrow. UFC 186 goes in Montreal. Demetrius Johnson, Kyoji Horiguchi, your main event. Quentin Rampage Jackson's return to the UFC as he takes on Fabio Maldonado, one of your co-mains. Michael Bisping, CB Dolloway at middleweight, also one of your co-main events. Lots of Canadian content on the card. 8 o'clock start only on pay-per-view tomorrow. That is the UFC Wrap.
Pat Steinberg's weekly UFC Wrap is brought to you by the Elbow River Casino. Don't miss any of the great action and sporting events in Sammy's Sports Bar, including the top UFC fights, all at the Elbow River Casino with free underground parking.
Live from Woodridge Ford today at the corner of Deerfoot and Douglasdale. We're here until 6 o'clock on the big show helping out Kidsport for their spring equipment drive. This is one of the permanent drop-off locations for lightly used equipment with everything going to the Comrie Sports Equipment Bank. So it's the Kidsport Spring Equipment Drive. Woodridge Ford is a partner. Very happy to be here. And let's not forget, you know, there's the Kidsport side of things and there's also the deal side of things. If you need a vehicle, Woodridge Ford is the place to come check out. Part of the Wildwood Auto Group. We were at Okotoks Ford 2 weeks ago, here at Woodridge Ford today. How about this? A 2000 Ford F-150 XLT Super Crew 4x4 was $46,609. So $46,609 is now down to $32,549. That's $239 bi-weekly with zero down. $239 bi-weekly for a 2014 Ford F-150 XLT Super Crew 4x4. That's got a 5-liter V8, power windows, locks and mirrors, trailer tow group, limited slip axle, and a whole lot more. That's $14,000 off. Or the 2015 Ford F-350 XLT crew cab 4x4. This is the Power Stroke diesel. It's got the trailer tow group. It's got cruise. It's got the automatic transmission. It's got the sync. $369 biweekly with zero down for a 2015 Ford F-350 XLT Super Crew. Just a few of the deals you can get here at Woodridge Ford at the corner of Douglasdale and Deerfoot. We're here until 6 o'clock. We're going around the NHL and around the NHL in net. Brent Cron is our guest around the corner here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
It's your game. It's our passion. Proud to be home for the National Hockey League in Calgary. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Talking sports in the afternoon. This is The Big Show on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Around the NHL on The Big Show is brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Catch every hockey game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
Yeah, a little bit of a different spin on Around the NHL today, just because we held the Oilers news conference a little earlier with them introducing Peter Chiarelli as their president and general manager today. Around the NHL is going to feature our good friend Brent Cron, one of our NHL analysts. Lots to talk about around the league and around the league in net. Hello, Croner. What's up, my friend? Cron, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Oh, now I can hear you. I think you went over the air. I just couldn't hear you. So now I could hear you now.
Technical difficulties.
Buddy? Yeah, it's par for the course. What's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. And I'm curious to get into a lot of different things with you. We'll finish it off with some Flames conversation, but I want to give you some credit. Let's start with something that you called prior to this series and to this postseason. When we were talking last week, you said that, you know what, this might be the time, this is kind of when you think will be the time that Marc-Andre Fleury really kind of becomes the best player in a series for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Yes, they're down 3-1 to the New York Rangers, but he has been the best player in this series. You called it. So how come?
There's no pressure. They're the underdog in this series, right? I mean, they're playing against the Rangers, who are the, you know, the league champions. They're the one of the best teams in the National Hockey League. And you're going up there, and you're just trying to get your team a win, a split in New York, and maybe get a couple home wins here too. And there's nothing to lose for him right now. Usually, he's been in positions where he's had to be they were expected to win. And when you don't, or when you have that type of pressure on you, when you're expected to win every night, and you're supposed to go out there, and you're not getting all the shots, and you're not the goaltender they talk about because of all the hype around you. You can just go out there and do your job. And, I mean, he's been stellar. He's made some huge, huge saves. He's been clutch for them, and he's given them every chance to win in this series. Now they're down 3-1. Another big game for him tonight. And, you know, they're not done. They got players like Malkin and Crosby who are game breakers. And if Fleury just keeps playing the way he's playing and maybe makes a few extra saves, Pittsburgh's not out of the series yet.
I agree with you, and if Fleury keeps on playing like this, they'll have an opportunity to extend the series and maybe get it back to Pittsburgh trailing 3-1. I'm really curious. There's so many interesting goaltending stories in this year's postseason. The situation in Chicago is bizarre. Scott Darling wins 3 games and then, you know, maybe gets lit up a little bit more in the third period of last night's Game 5, so Game 6 is going back to Chicago. I'm really curious. Like, Scott Darling's the guy right now, but for how long? Is this still Crawford's team in your eyes?
It is. Quinville was really quick to pull the trigger on putting Darling in the net there for Game 3. He did have a great Game 1 in relief of Crawford, but you know, it's surprising to me. Crawford's won a Stanley Cup with the Chicago Blackhawks. He's had great seasons with the Blackhawks, and he's a professional, and he'll always be able to find his game, but there's that pressure of winning. And Darling came in and played unbelievable the first game, played great the third game, played really good the fourth game, and didn't really have a great last game here. He played all right, but didn't make the saves that he needed to make. And Nashville obviously was desperate, so they put their best foot forward. And Rene showed up and made some huge saves at key times for Nashville. So, you know, I think you'd have to stick with Darling going into the next game right now. He's been so good He's a big body. He's been very calm, too, for his first playoff series. He's actually been remarkably calm. He hasn't overreacted to a lot. Playing in Chicago and on home ice with that kind of crowd and that type of pressure, he's handled it like a pro. There's been no panic in his game. He's a big body, covers low extremely well, plays the puck well, and seems to have the respect of his teammates. And I can't see why Quenneville wouldn't go back to him for this game, because if you start flip-flopping goalies in the playoffs, it can work, but you usually have to identify number one. Going forward, Darling is that guy for now, but if he falters more than a game or two here, I'm sure Crawford will get his chance to get back in there.
Kind of the opposite situation in Ottawa, right? I mean, it was Andrew Hammond who was the young upstart. He started the first two games of the playoffs. Then Craig Anderson takes over, and he's the guy going forward. Kind of like a complete opposite situation.
Yeah, well, Hammond got them into the playoffs and faltered in game one and two. And Anderson's been a playoff performer. He played against the Canadians a few years ago, and his numbers were unreal when they put the Canadians out of the playoffs. And Anderson seems to be doing that here again. He's only played two games, so it's hard to judge going forward. But those two games he's played, he's been unbelievable. So I would expect nothing less from him tonight. He has the ability to be a game breaker too. I mean, he had 47 saves the other day, and he can compete with Carey Price. Carey Price does it on a consistent level. He can always raise his game. Anderson gets hot and cold, and if he gets hot at the right time, I know Ottawa probably won't win this series, but they'll definitely make it close if Anderson keeps playing the way he's playing.
With Brent Cron, who is our NHL analyst, joins us usually Thursdays, but this week Friday on the Big Show here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Goes back to that conversation that we had about the Flames, but it's a general conversation that we can have. The importance of having that number one goalie, it's crucial, isn't it?
Well, it is, and you know, I'm actually really surprised at Hiller too, how well he's been doing. He had a really solid season, but he'd kind of been, when he'd cool off, Rama would come in, play great, and then Rama would cool off, and then Hiller would go back in. But I believe Hiller's been the most consistent player for the Calgary Flames, and everybody's talking about Sam Bennett and Michael Ferland and how good of a job they're doing. They're new to the team, they're having an impact, so everybody's talking about them. But game in and game out, every shift, every play, I believe that Hiller's been there. Been their most consistent player, especially last mm-hmm. night too. You could tell he really wanted to end the series in Vancouver. He had 43 shots, and a lot of them were good quality scoring chances too, especially with the Sedins, with having the puck on their stick and making plays. And I mean, he kept the game close. He gave the Flames a chance. And from game one on, Hiller's just been solid, and that's all they can ask of their goaltender. And he's made key saves at key times, and you know, Saturday night should be no different.
Tell me about a team's mindset when you're playing in front of a red-hot goalie like Hiller is right now.
Well, I mean, look at a powerhouse team like the Tampa Bay Lightning right now. Ben Bishop struggled throughout the playoffs, and every play that comes into the Tampa zone, it looks like the Tampa Bay Lightning are holding their breath, hoping that their goaltender can make the save. And who knows what's going to happen after that. They're not playing with confidence with their goaltender, and therefore the rest of the game suffers defensively, offensively. Everything just kind of falls apart, and you turn into a bunch of individuals trying to carry too much of the load. Whereas you got a team like the Calgary Flames, for example, or Blackhawks, or whatnot, where their goaltending has just been stellar, been solid, and they can count on their goaltender to stop the pucks he's supposed to stop, and then stop the ones that he has no chance on either. So when a team knows their goaltender can make saves, they're a lot more relaxed. They're a lot more willing to take chances because they believe their goaltender can bail them out. And they play a lot more comfortable, confident game.
With Brent Cron, who is our NHL analyst, want to ask you about two other goaltenders in the postseason. One of them, Pekka Rinne, and your observations of him, because he's had some struggles in this first-round series with Chicago.
You know what? Since Pekka came back from his injury late in the season here, he hasn't been himself. He's a big kid. He's 6'5". He's lanky, but he's super athletic, and he's fun to watch because he makes a lot of desperation saves with how athletic and acrobatic he is in the net. But he's overplaying a lot. He's overmoving. He's diving around. He's making himself extremely small. He just looks like he is trying so hard to stop the puck that it's nearly impossible. And it's exhausting to watch him play right now. You can tell he really wants it. He's a competitor. He battles hard. But the game isn't very simple for him. He everything that comes his way, he's getting beat short side on straight shots and trying to find pucks through traffic, and he's getting beat through his five hole. He's getting beat a lot through his body, and that's just not his style. It's not his game. And last night, you know, the Nashville was able to score five, so that definitely helped. But that first goal was a bit soft. And, you know, he's there's a lot of pressure on him. He's paid like a big-time goaltender, but hasn't had a whole lot of playoff success. And this would go a long way to prove that he is the goaltender that the Nashville Predators think he is. And he just got to get himself a bit more comfortable and a bit more confident in the way he stops the puck, because he's got a very unique style, and he stops pucks a lot differently than most goaltenders do. And so that's always subject for review with the way he plays, because he's just so athletic. He tries to catch everything. He dives, he jumps, he's almost like a Dominic Hasek in a sense, where he doesn't really have a style. He just goes out there and stops the puck. And so he's exciting to watch, but calls into question a lot of plays he makes when he struggles. And he can be a dominant National Hockey League goaltender. He just needs to, in my opinion, just kind of slow down, relax, and let the puck come to him.
Final question for you, and that's on Ben Bishop. I know the Lightning win game four, big one yesterday, but to just your overall thoughts on his first playoff appearance.
Not very good. He's struggled. He hasn't got the high shot totals that Tampa Bay has got on Mrazek, and that can be a bit of a detriment to you mentally. When you see the goaltender at the other end getting 46 shots and getting peppered and getting scoring chances, he's making great save after great save, and Detroit comes down to your end and scores a bit of a chintzy goal, and you know, you don't get another shot here for the next 2 or 3 minutes, so all you get to do is dwell on the mistakes that you've made. So he really hasn't been able to get involved in a lot of the games. He's a big puck-playing goaltender in Detroit, for the most part, kept the puck away from him. So he really hasn't been able to get into any games. There's a ton of pressure on him because he's on a team that's supposed to beat Detroit, and now the series is tied at two. And that was a huge game last night for Detroit to come back with 6 minutes left and then win it in overtime. That's gonna change the tide in this series, and Bishop needs to get himself going again. With not a lot of shot repetition, you have to be very mentally strong. And I hope he can do it, because you can fall asleep back there too with the intensity of the playoffs and everybody's going and crashing and banging. Forwards can go out there, get it. You know, if you're not scoring goals, you can go out there and make a hit, block a shot, do something for the team. Whereas goaltending, it's you either stop the puck or you don't. And you can't do anything really to get yourself into the game until you start making those saves. So mentally, he needs to be sharp, he needs to be relaxed, and he needs to be confident. And the only way you can do that is if he stops pucks, and if the boys give him enough support to go out there, maybe make a mistake or two, but he knows that his guys have his back.
Good stuff as always, Cronor. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for making time for us today. I know that you were busy yesterday, so I'm glad you still made time for us. And I'm glad that
you're a big deal, Patty.
You're the big deal, Cronor. I'm glad the little guys still have an opportunity in your world.
Appreciate it.
Bye, buddy.
Bye.
He is Brent Cronor. He joins us every Thursday or sometimes Friday here on The Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Okay, my name is Pat Steinberg. We are underway on the program today, live from Woodridge Ford, part of the Wood Auto Group. And that's important because along with Advantage Ford, Okotoks Ford, Big Four, and Village Honda, they make up the Wood Auto Group. And they have partnered up with Kidsport. And here at Woodridge Ford in the corner of Douglasdale and Deerfoot, this is one of the permanent drop-off locations for the Kidsport Spring Equipment Drive, with all the equipment going to the Comrie Sports Equipment Bank. So a lot of good reason to come on down, bring in the lightly used equipment here to Woodridge Ford, and then hang out for a little bit more, because there's some great deals that you can have once you're here at Woodridge. I want to welcome in the general manager here at Woodridge Ford, Travis Eade, with us. Travis, how are you, my friend?
How you doing, Pat?
I'm doing well, and thanks for having us.
Hey, you know what? Just wanted to welcome you down here, welcome yourself and Sportsnet 960. Awesome to have you down here, guys.
We are very happy to be here. Let's first of all start and talk about the partnership with Kidsport, and obviously you guys pretty proud to partner up with them.
Well, absolutely, Pat. I mean, just an incredible organization. I mean, supplying all that the lightly used equipment for the kids to get them playing the nation's game, it's unbelievable. So we're as you mentioned, all of our other dealerships in the group, we're very happy to be a permanent drop-off location, and I think it's going to be a great partnership.
And no doubt about it. I mean, it's kind of cool for you guys to be able to be one of the permanent drop-off locations. Lots of people coming down here, bringing in the lightly used equipment. So where are you putting it all?
Well, right now we got ourselves a all-aluminum F-150 with a high tensile steel frame, just to carry all that equipment that's going to be dropped off here today. Absolutely. We got a few extra trucks in the lot, so I'll tell you, if we got to bring in four or five extra trucks to fill this thing, No problem.
Well, that's
good. We got the inventory.
Well, let's see if we can meet that challenge and fill some of these trucks here at Woodridge Ford. Again, on the corner of Deerfoot and Douglasdale, so easy to find. And I've always liked this one. Eligible Costco members, an additional $1,000 off on most new vehicles here in the showroom, hey?
Well, absolutely, Pat. I don't know if you know this, but this is the place that Calgary actually comes for Ford, right here in the corner of Deerfoot and Douglasdale. And absolutely, the Costco membership, we've got an extra $1,000 for Costco members. And I think you touched on some of the deals we got down here already, but you know, we've got some 14 F-150 Super Cruise and Super Cab trucks. You know, some of those trucks have discounts on them up to $17,000.
Mm-hmm.
You can get some lease payments, you know, biweekly lease payment on that vehicle of $239
which
bi-weekly.
Which is ridiculous.
Well, it's insane.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you just pick one up on the way home?
Exactly. Like, $239 biweekly for a Ford F-150 from 2014. Like, that's as good as it gets. Eh?
Absolutely. And if you don't need a truck, if you need a little commuter car, you know, we got a 15 Focus S sedan. That vehicle is $19,899. Now, I know guys that have snow machines that are more than that, okay? I'm serious. It's $117 biweekly, zero down. I mean, you know what? It doesn't get better than that. You need a second car, good gas mileage, commuter vehicle. Just pick one up, take it home. We'll make it easy for you.
Yeah, it's not just trucks. Obviously, Ford's so well known for the F-Series trucks, but on top of that, we're talking about the Explorer, we're talking about the Focus, we're talking about the Fiesta, and of course, I always like whenever I can talk about the Mustang, I'm happy to do so. Do we have any Mustangs in the showroom?
Well,
right now?
You know what? I think I got one in the showroom here. I got I do know this. I got four or five on the sold fence.
Yeah.
Okay. Because
they go pretty quickly.
This time
right?
of year, I tell you what, that vehicle came out. The brand new Mustang actually came out in the launch. The launch of that car was actually back in October. So not exactly the best time for Ford to launch that vehicle. But I tell you what, now that the sun's out, you can see some pavement. People are coming in. Last week, we averaged one Mustang a day out of here.
Really? So,
absolutely.
Well, it's kind of like it's the next generation Mustang. It's kind of an evolution from the last one. It's not a complete redesign. Like, remember, we all remember the 5-liter to the new one. It's like, that was a complete redesign. This is just an evolution, right?
Well, some of the technology in that car, I mean, talk about evolution. I mean, the car that used to be a V6, 3.5-liter V6, that car now has a twin-turbo 4-cylinder EcoBoost engine in it. Over 300 horsepower out of a 4-cylinder twin-turbo EcoBoost. So fuel efficiency, the suspension on the car, you got the independent rear suspension instead of the solid axle now. Thing handles like it's on rails and looks unreal.
And it is so easy to find here at Woodridge Ford, very, very clearly on the corner of Deerfoot and Douglasdale. You can't miss it, can you?
Can't miss it. Got a 120-foot flagpole out front.
And it's the place Calgary comes for Ford. Travis Eade, the general manager here at Woodridge Ford, thanks for stopping by and thanks for having us. Eh?
No problem. I'll be here all day.
And we will be too. We're here till 6 o'clock as we continue on the big show. Around the corner, Will Nault's got your best of the best here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Calgary, you love hockey, and so do we. It's right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan, proud home of the National Hockey League.
Around the NHL on the big show is brought to you by Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar. Catch every hockey game and enjoy game day specials at Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar, 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast.
The world's best hockey players are only right here. Sportsnet 960, home for the NHL in Calgary. The best quotes, the top highlights, and anything else that you need to hear. This is the best of the best on the big show. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Back to Woodridge Ford. Sorry, we have a little bit of an odd delay down here. Welcome back to the program. My name is Pat Steinberg here at Woodridge Ford. Will Nault is standing by at Sportsnet 960 World Control. Will, you're there, right?
I'm here, yes.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if you were there, but...
No, I'm here. What's going on, my friend? It's time for the best of the best. I'm very excited for this. We haven't done it in a little while. We've got lots and lots of material, and I know that you and I have gone back and forth on some of the material for the best of the best today, so I'm very, very, very interested to see what you have got in store for us today on the best of the best. The best sound clips of the week, courtesy of Will Nault. Let's get going, William.
Well, Hawk Harrelson of the White Sox has been kind of known to be a homer in the past, right?
No.
And it's not really up his alley. But I think we might have a little bit of a theme here on today's best of the best. Anyways, they were playing the Royals last night at U.S. Cellular Field in Chicago, and things got a little heated So the Royals have been in the news and beating a lot of baseball players. They've been in it with the Athletics last week. Now they're in it with the White Sox. They had a huge bench brawl last week, but I thought I'd throw this White Sox clip in there because the bench brawl, not really the greatest audio. You kind of have to see it, but this is just one of the greatest calls from Hawk of this season, and I could listen to this all day.
That ball hit hard.
What a play by Adam Eaton. You gotta be bleeping me. Wow. You gotta be bleeping me.
You gotta be bleeping me.
What a good, that's like a good
that's
drop.
That's one of my
for
favorites
show,
ever.
Eh?
You gotta be bleeping me.
That is really good.
I wasn't
sure what was coming there.
Yeah,
that was actually really good. I was like, what is Will going? What road is he going down here with old Hawk? And then that's well done.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I can listen to that all
day.
You gotta be bleeping me.
Yeah, I like that a lot.
It's gonna be
tough to top, Will.
Yeah, well, I think this one has a good chance. We'll stick with the Homer theme, and Tyler Johnson was the core of the Tampa Bay Lightning comeback yesterday in Detroit. They were down 2-0 with 4 minutes left in that game. They came back to tie it, and then in overtime, this happened from our good friend Dave Mishkin, the Lightning Radio Network.
Hedman trying to clear to Kaiser, trying to hold it in, but out of the zone, it's Palat. Leaving for Hedman, maybe an odd man rush across the blue line, right circle. Hedman holds, cuts in front for Johnson. Score! 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 Johnson! Johnson! The Lightning win it! The Lightning win it! An incredible comeback! 3-2! The series is tied, baby! 2 games apiece!
And I think he might have passed out.
It's always good when, like, as a play-by-play broadcaster, you're so excited that you become incomprehensible. Again, play it right from when he starts to freak out, and you got to really listen to make out the words that he's saying.
Score! 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 Johnson! Johnson! The Lightning win it! The Lightning win it! An incredible comeback! 3-2! The series is tied, baby! 2 games apiece! Johnson! Johnson! The Lightning win it!
Those aren't, like, if you didn't set it up, Will, like, if you had just played that without saying Tyler Johnson of the Tampa Bay Lightning had won the game, it would have just sounded like noise. Like, it would have just
sounds like he's crying for help.
Johnson!
Yeah.
Johnson! Help me!
Oh, that is really good. That's and hey, good on him. His team just won a big game. But if you hadn't set it up and we didn't know what was coming, you would have just been like, that man is dying. That man is being eaten alive by wolves right now. And he's screaming for the last words of his life. But actually, it was a happy moment that Tampa Bay won a game in overtime.
What a game, though.
Oh, and what a huge
they were
huge
on the
going to
be on the ropes down 3-1, and they came all the way back and won the game. And
starting
with
4.5 minutes to go in the third period is when Johnson scored his first goal.
Yeah.
Then Palat ties it just over a minute later, and then the Dave Mishkin freakout to win it about 2.5 minutes into overtime. Like, that's huge for him.
It's absolutely huge. It keeps their season very much alive. Speaking of huge comebacks, they were down by 17 points 6 minutes into the fourth quarter last night. The Golden State Warriors and the New Orleans Pelicans, game 3 of their first-round series in the Western Conference in the NBA. The Warriors had a 2-0 series advantage and were on their way to losing their first game of the series, but they came all the way back in the dying seconds of the fourth quarter. They put the ball in the best player's hands with 2.8 seconds left.
Warriors steal this. Let's find out. Green will throw it in. Curry comes to the ball. Goes to the corner. Catches. Works up. Pondexter. Fade away. 3. Short. Rebound. Spades. Curry in the corner. Shoots. On the way. Got it! He hit it! 2.8 to go! He got clobbered as well. Holiday to throw it in. Tyreek Evans from midcourt. Shoots. Good if it goes. No good! We're going to overtime! Curry does it again!
Stephen Curry of the Golden State Warriors hits a corner three, ties the game at 108,
yep.
And they win it in overtime. An unbelievable comeback by the Warriors. They've been doing that all season long, and that guy's been doing it all year, too.
I was gonna say, well, that guy's been doing it his entire career,
yep.
Going back to college. That's all the guy's ever done is score huge, huge points and do stupid things like that. Good on him. I love Steph Curry, and he's made the Golden State Warriors one of the more intriguing stories of the year. There's a chance that they'll get some love at the ESPYs and stuff like that for some of the stuff they've done this year. So that was, and I was watching the highlights last night and seeing
unbelievable.
That. Of course.
Yep.
You know, you knew, I didn't know how it had happened. So I was watching the highlights. I'm like, okay, well, they're clearly tying it. It's clearly coming out of Steph Curry's hands. And of course it did, because that's the way it always goes with that guy.
And he's getting like abused by two players and hits the three from the corner. And the guy's like 5'9". It's unbelievable. Anyways, Jim Harbaugh, the new head coach of the University of Michigan Wolverines football team, used to be the head coach of the 49ers, if you remember correctly, loves his khakis, and if you also remember correctly, he's a bit of a weirdo, yeah?
He's a bit of a hothead, he's a bit of a weirdo, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, well, he was featured on HBO's Real Sports this week on a documentary of his career, and he just proves how weird he is talking about growing up drinking milk.
I just set my mind to, I gotta be 6'2". I heard that if you drink milk, that builds strong bones, and convinced myself that I'll just drink as much milk as I possibly can drink. Prayed about it a lot. I want to be 6'2", I want to be 6'2". And then when I went to school here at St. Francis Elementary School, I got a job as the milk distributor.
This is starting in
third grade.
You made this decision.
So we just started delivering milk every day, and we got one free milk for delivering all the milk. But every kid that was absent, you know, that tray would go back to the little milk room, and I would just drink as much milk as my belly could hold. I drank a lot of milk, Andrea. A lot of milk. Whole milk, though. Not the candy ass 2% or skim milk. Belly could hold. I drank a lot of milk, Andrea. A lot of milk. Whole milk, though. Not the candy ass 2% or skim milk.
Whole milk, though.
Yeah, it's gotta be the whole milk,
not 2% or skim. Weird Jim Harbaugh. The whole thing is bizarre. He shows like where he went to play baseball as a kid by himself in the parking lot, not in a diamond, in a parking lot. And it's just a look into Jim Harbaugh's life, and you get to really see how weird he is. But I will say this: I think he's gonna be a hell of a coach at that university.
Yeah, probably. He's a good college coach. I'm not such a big fan of him as a pro coach, but he's a good college coach.
The last one to wrap things up, won't play the whole thing because it's massive, but if you haven't heard it yet, Brian Price is the manager of the Cincinnati Reds, and he went on an absolute tirade before the game on Sunday afternoon as he was getting mad at the media for, you know, releasing injuries to the public. As Devin Mesoraco was unavailable for his team, he was injured or sick and had to stay back with his family, something to that sort. And Brian Price was sick of the media leaking the fact that Devin Mesoraco, was unavailable to his team, and I guess didn't really understand what the media's job was. So here's a little bit of Brian Price, not too happy with the media.
I don't get it. It's. You know, look, I don't need you guys to be fans of the Reds. I just need to know that if there's something that we want to keep here, that it stays here. We don't need to know that Tucker Barnhart's in the f***ing airport when we haven't spoken to Kyle Skipworth. I think we owe that kid the right to be called and told that he's going to be sent down, as opposed to reading that Tucker Barnhart's on his way in from Louisville. I don't get it. I don't get why. It's got to be this way. Has it always been this way? Where we just tell everybody everything? So every opponent that we have has to know exactly what we have, which relievers are available, which guys are here and which guys aren't here, when they can play, what they can do. It's nobody's business. It's certainly not the opponent's business. We've got to deal with this bullshit. I'd like to talk, and I have spoken as candidly as I can with you people. If that's not good enough, I won't say a thing. I'll go yes sir, no sir, and I can do that. But I've been as candid as I can be about this team and our players, and we got to deal with this. Every team that we play has to know every guy that's here and what they can and can't do. Me, It's a f***ing disgrace. I'm sick of this. It's hard enough to win here to have every opponent know exactly what the we bring to the table every day. I just don't know if that's what we're supposed to do. Are we supposed to open up everything here for everybody to know all the time? So that's all I want to know, what your expectations are, because if I got to tell these guys, we got to go out there and they know we don't have Devin Mesoraco, what benefit is that to me as a manager and our team to win a game?
It's like a slow build here.
Oh, the end is phenomenal. So that's kind of the start. I'll play the end.
I'm up a rope in this business because everyone has to know everything all the time. And that's not my obligation. It's not their obligation. You know why Billy Hamilton didn't play the other day? Because his fingers hurt. He couldn't hit right-handed comfortably. Right? So that's something that I need to know and no one else needs to know. No one else needs to know it. And all of a sudden it's out there. Fingers are sore. It doesn't benefit us. It wasn't from you, but doesn't benefit us one bit to announce to the other teams that were playing to bring in lefties whenever they need to get Billy out. It's no benefit. So I'll be honest with you. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of listening to this. I'm sick of the second guessing. You guys can do whatever the you want, but I'll tell you this. I'm not going to tell you everything about this club because you guys are going to go out there and sniff it out anyway. I don't like it one bit. Bend over backwards and be honest and direct with you guys, and you stick it right up my team. I'm sick of it.
Okay, I think
what do you got?
Idea. Okay, I think we
you don't
get
got
it.
Anything, then get out and I'll do this interview.
All right.
You don't have anything, just get out.
Please. That is incredible stuff.
Wow. So the entire thing is about 6 minutes, and he drops 77 bombs.
77, hey?
Yep.
That's Wolf of Wall Street level.
Oh,
well done.
That's phenomenal.
Well done.
I don't think that he doesn't understand how media has to leak the thing. I don't think he understands what the media's job is.
No, I don't think so either. But I'm glad because it gave us that. Good stuff, Will, and the best of the best. Let's take a break. We're live at Woodridge Ford, and we've got more on the big show around the corner. Rob is here. I'm here. We're here till 6 o'clock. This is the big show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Saturday night playoff hockey in Calgary. Are you kidding me? How awesome is that? Flames and Canucks. Saturday night. Pre-game at 6. Play-by-play at 7. Flames and Canucks. Game 6. And it's only here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Calgary Flames hockey is brought to you by the Alberta Ford Dealers and Calgary Lock and Safe.